Breaking ball, hit in the air, left field, deep, going back, and gone over the Phillies bullpen. And Derek Hill with a two-run home run. And the hits keep coming off the Nats bullpen. The second homer of the inning for the Phillies. It's a five-run ninth inning, and they lead it 10-5.
Five runs in the ninth last night, 15 runs in the ninth in the last three games. What a wild week for the Phillies. We'll keep talking about it. Your phone call is coming up, 215-592-9494. But Hugh, how about this? We get to have a special guest in studio. We don't usually have in-studio guests. It's always fun we do. And joining us right now, former Phillies player, former Phillies hitting coach, Milt Thompson with us. Milt, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. I'm glad you're here, Milt. Because after we get through this interview, I have a dream that I want to bounce off of you.
All right.
And I want to talk to you about it because you probably are definitely the person that could probably help me make this happen.
All right. Dream maker here. And yeah. You're also here with us, not just talk some Phillies, but talk about what's coming up here, which is really cool. So All-Star Game in Philadelphia this year. We're so excited for all the different events, including the HBCU Classic, right? Friday before the All-Star Game, you can get tickets at the Phillies Ticket Office. So tell us about it. I know you were involved with it last year for the first time, right? Down in Atlanta and now here in Philadelphia.
Oh, it's an unbelievable experience. You have to go see it. You know, as the game's going along, the African-American culture with step shows and stuff, the drum lines. Oh, it's amazing. Plus, you get a chance to see some athletes who really don't get a chance to be on, you know, national TV like that. You know, we're going to have 25 players on each squad. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So, Milt, I'm kind of curious because, you know, coming from HBCU, there are not a lot of HBCUs that have baseball teams. So what teams are going to be represented? What schools, I should say, are going to be represented?
There's
here.
Quite a few schools that are going to be represented now. Howard doesn't have a baseball team. Mm-hmm. We used to have one. We don't have one. But it's funny how, you know, Sarge Matthews' son, Dale, does a great job of scouting and watching these kids and picking the talent every single year. So you're definitely going to see a lot of kids who have a lot of talent, just don't know them. You don't hear about them a lot. I remember last year we had one kid, man. He was special, man. Mm-hmm. He threw like 94, and he played the outfield both. And, you know, he hit a double to help us win the game, and then he closed it out, you know.
Oh, that's
so,
pretty
yeah,
cool.
That's pretty exciting.
So this feels like an event that's growing here. You said last year in Atlanta, but this year Ken Griffey Jr. is involved with it. And I saw what, J-Roll is going to manage one of the teams, Ricky Weeks managing another one of the teams?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be the bench coach on Jimmy Rollins' team.
That's
so
fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But that's a really
cool way to get more people interested in watching, because it's not just the kids, but it's also you see those old former MLB players and stars like Jimmy. And Ricky Weeks was a really good player, you know, in the dugout there.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, like I said, for us to mingle with those kids and talk to them and, you know, talk about the experience of playing in the big leagues.
Yeah.
That's one thing in itself, you know, understanding what it takes to be a major leaguer.
Sure. And I'm sure for you personally, I mean, the baseball, you know, fan in you, the baseball player in you, but also for you and Hugh to see an HBCU Classic at Citizens Bank Park, that's like if you had told me 10 years ago, what would they do on the Friday night before the All-Star game? I wouldn't have thought that. That's a really cool idea to bring baseball here to Philadelphia through that.
Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. does an amazing job. You know, he kind of sponsors all these kids and stuff. So it's going to be a great event. I'm telling you, you should come see it.
Oh, definitely going to come see it. I'm going to bring my son too, because for me, and we were kind of talking about this in the break, is that, you know, there's a lot of African Americans that play. There's a lot of Africans that play, but not from here. African Americans, I should say. Yeah. You know, you have the Dominican players and everything, since my son's been trying to get him more interested in baseball. But Bill, I'm kind of curious, why do you feel like a lot of kids nowadays over here in the States really don't, especially black kids, why don't they play baseball anymore?
It's because it's too expensive. You know, we used to have rec leagues when I was growing up, and now it's, you know, it's travel ball.
Right.
And, you know, it's just too expensive. A bat for a young kid costs like $300-$400.
No, my son plays Little League. I don't know to cut you off, but we went to before the season to get his bat. And like I played when I was a kid, and I was $100 for a bat, maybe 80. They were like $400, and I was like, we don't need this bat. But that's all of them. They're all so expensive.
Yeah, and then you go for a weekend, so that's two nights
on the road.
Yeah, on the road
in the hotel room.
In the hotel room, all this stuff adds up, you know. So it's, you know, we kind of phased out of it, but. One thing about Major League Baseball, we got the RBI leagues, which is rejuvenizing baseball in the inner city. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to get them going, but you know it takes a lot. You know,
sure.
Thank God the Major League Baseball is sponsoring these teams.
Well, and I think, you know, just like I'm sure when you played and you were a kid, like when you see, when you're a kid, or like Hugh's son, right, like you see a role model on the field, right? Phillies have Justin Crawford now, so I mean, who knows? That could create more fans in the city and all that. But it's cool. So 7 o'clock on Friday night, July 10th, that will be where this game, when this game will start. Tickets available, Phillies Ticket Office. And the game will be nationally televised on MLB Network. That's also fun thing. You could see this on TV,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great experience, you know. These guys probably have never been on TV in their lives,
right,
as far as going out there competing. So it's one good thing. You know, it's good they have a couple guys like us around. Just tell them, like, just relax and play. You know, don't get all excited because you might be getting on TV for the first time.
Were you ever on TV when you played college football?
You know what? We played in it was called the Circle City Classic.
Okay.
Well, BET. So it was, it was on TV, but
it's
BET.
Yeah,
it's BET, but that was a big deal for us back in the day. And, it is something different, man. When you talk about coming from a school that doesn't get a whole lot of exposure, to be out there on a platform where everybody can get a chance to see you play. And I got to be honest, that's probably what propelled me or catapulted me to being able to go to the Hula Bowl and being able to be drafted, because people got a chance to see you actually play.
Well, that's the other thing, Hugh and Milt, for these kids, like, this is a showcase for them, right? It's not just, it's a great moment. They'll be able to say forever they got to play at Citizens Bank Park, but Milt, I'm sure a few of them probably are good enough to, maybe more than that, good enough to be drafted. So this is a showcase in front of all of baseball.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
You know, it's, everything is opportunity. when you look at it, Hugh will tell you, in the football thing and in baseball thing, you know, you need a number one, you need a break. You need a break to get noticed and maybe get drafted.
Yep.
And then you need a break to get to the big leagues. So, you know, it's a grind. It took me 6 years to get to the big leagues once I signed.
You know what, Mel, funny that you're speaking about that. Like, I had a moment when it was early in the year, we were playing in a softball tournament, and, you know, Jalen Hurts was pitching. And I got struck out.
You know what? Like, I got a video. I'm gonna show Milt. Tell the story. I'll show Milt the video.
You gotta show Milt.
We gotta show Milt the video.
I'm gonna back you up, Hugh. Don't worry about it. We had a company softball game at the Phillies. You know, employees, and I struck out. I can't hit a slow pitch softball.
This was bad. This was bad.
It's horrendous.
So that's me. As Milt looks at it, that was me trying to hit right. But that's not the bad part. I almost broke my ankle trying to hit that baseball, right? Because something, you know, it was Jalen, and, you know, he's a quarterback, and, you know, I started thinking about back in the day when I was playing and trying to, you know, crush the quarterback, and I almost broke my ankle. But then I had this wild idea that if I get the proper training right now, right, at 50 years old, that I could potentially be a DH in the major leagues.
I can fix you. You get to come to me.
See, you saw that? So you can fix that swing?
I can fix that.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
I can fix that.
All right. Because I wanted to see it so we get a full, honest response.
As I broke it down and I started talking to, because then, you know, my son was there. Harper was there. Now he's trying to coach me. He's like, Dad, you got to take the bat off your shoulder. I was like, thanks for telling me after the fact. You know what I mean? Like, it was all of that. And he was like, well, you, and then I asked Ryan, and Ryan was like, you're using too much body. He was like, he was telling me stuff like that. So, I think that. If I get the proper training, probably not a DH, but I will be able to make contact.
We know what we're going to do now.
What's that?
We do fantasy camp every year in January.
Mm-hmm. I like this.
We're going to bring you down.
Okay.
I like this.
We're going to bring you down and get you started out there and let you know how this is supposed to happen. You know?
Yeah, because I keep telling them, but see, Joe right here, he's being a Debbie Downer, and Kyle is co-signing. Every time I talk about, they trying to be dream snatchers and stuff.
It was underhand.
Well, the whole thing is you have to slow down. It doesn't make sense. Okay, this guy's throwing 95 miles an hour to me, and you got to slow down.
Mm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You have to slow your body down and let your natural ability hit the ball instead of trying to hit the ball. And in watching this video, you were swinging before he even let the ball go. His hands was like right here. You ready to swing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just like slowing down and seeing the ball and just letting it come.
See, Joe, all I got to do is slow it down.
Well, now that we have a professional hitting coach in here, I'll buy what he's saying.
I mean, but you know, your words were way kinder than the big pieces were. He was like, damn. He was like, are you okay? Ryan was like, dude, what are you doing? And I was like, what happened? And I'm like, hey, man, I guess I heard the crowd a little bit, and I just got, you know, I got a little bit ahead of myself. But I feel better now. I feel like I got an opportunity. I got a shot at this.
I do love the fantasy camp idea. Now, I mean, Joe DeCamera used to go to fantasy. Well, if DeCamera can play in fantasy camp.
I got him off, too. But that thing, he was supposed to get, I think, three hits, and he had two, and then he pulled a muscle, so
right.
he couldn't play.
Yeah. Well, Joe gets hurt a lot. I mean, that's
yeah, he's not the most sturdy individual. He ain't that sturdy.
Yeah, I would think if DeCamera can hit in fantasy camp. That, I like that idea. That,
yeah.
The content we can great. See,
look at me thinking about
the content
show.
We can get out of Hugh at fantasy camp. Is so good. It is so good. So, Milt, while we have you, let's talk about this Phils team.
Oh, man.
What incredible. A week, Milt. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to tell you, man, everybody needs to know that with two outs, the game is not over.
Mm.
And it was amazing these last couple of games, especially to score eight runs
yeah.
when you had two outs and two strikes on the hitter.
It's so hard to do that. Like the game is basically over. Like at that point, most of the time, right? Just percentage wise, and for them to do it three straight nights, it feels like this team has a little thing to them where they're never out of. They had the game in Pittsburgh in May where they were down 5-0, came back, and then three straight nights. What does that say about a team when they can do that?
It just lets you know that there's no quit, and that's the key part. I mean, I looked the other day when Harper was talking to Marsh because he was struggling early in that game, and he just took him off to the side and say, "Hey, man, just relax and be who you've been all year." And boom, home run. So it's important that, you know, these guys gel. And just when you win games like that, man, that helps. That brings all kinds of confidence in the world because we got great pitching.
Great pitching.
we got great pitching. And, you know, if we can score a couple runs, we're good, you know.
Milt, what have you noticed over the years with Kyle Schwarber? I mean, what a story. I mean, he was a first-round pick, so people thought he'd be good, and he was a good Cub. But then his career fell down, right? He got DFA'd. He was a free agent. And then he's come here, and we're talking about the most home runs. But by the time the season ends, he'll have more home runs in his first 5 years with a team than any player in the history of baseball. It just feels like he's getting better as he gets older.
Well, the thing about it is he's a hard worker. You got to understand that, you know, when you get put down, like, you know, DFA and stuff, you got to dig deep down inside and say, you know what? I'm going to prove these people wrong. And that's what he did. He went out and he worked hard. And I'm going to tell you, man, he gets locked in. He'll hit like six games.
Yep.
You know, that's how locked in he is. So hopefully he stays locked in for a long time.
What do you think about the rise here of Brandon Marsh? Brandon Marsh was first round pick, had talent, Phillies traded for him, but we never saw anything like it's been the last year. I mean, he looks like he's turned into an all-star player versus just, you know, a solid player.
Well, you got to understand something. I've had plenty of talks with this young man, and you got to understand the game of baseball is funny how they said, you know, he can't hit left-handers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I told him to hang in there, man, and you're going to get your opportunities, and you're going to be fine. It's funny. I got labeled I couldn't hit left-handers, and I got traded to St. Louis, and I hit 290 that year off of left-handers. Just by seeing them every day. When you're an everyday player, you get into a groove. And when you're in a groove and you're just confident, that's the way it is. But when you keep getting days off and you can't, you know, get locked in, it's hard. It's
hard. Repetitions.
Yes, no doubt about
it. Well, and I feel like a little bit now, and I know he's young and it's his first year, but Justin Crawford's going through that a little bit where he's got ability, but now they're kind of sitting him more against lefties. What do you think of him? Because he's a guy that hit 300 at every level of the minors, but people said hits too many ground balls, that's going to kind of hurt him in the major leagues. Where do you come down on that as we watch Justin try to find his way here?
Well, we have a guy in that by the name of Mike Schmidt. I hit in the same hitting group with him for 3 years. He didn't hit one home run in batting practice.
Mm.
He swung down, created that backspin for the ball to take off like an airplane.
Mm.
Sure, certainly worked out for him for a long time. Plenty of home runs in the real games, yeah.
You know, the game, I really became a really good – I was good, but I became a really good hitter after about 3 or 4 years in the big leagues because now you're facing these guys multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I did is I kept a book on every pitcher I faced my entire career. You know, what pitches he throws, time to the plate, all those things. And as I got more at-bats against him, I got comfortable, very comfortable. And for me, I was a zone hitter. I want the ball a middle of the way.
Mm.
And you get three strikes. I keep telling these guys all the time, you get three strikes. So I'm looking middle of the way. If you threw two in here, you can have them. Then I got two strikes, I'll choke up and do whatever I need to do to defend myself. But if you had that first pitch was there, I'm attacking it.
Yeah.
So it's that zone where I'm looking for to hit a ball. Now, when I became a coach, I made it real simple. And there's 9 quadrants in the strike zone. I give the paper to the hitter. Where do you like to hit the ball? You know? You tell me. So you say you're a down and in hitter. Why are you swinging the first pitch up and away?
That's not your zone, right?
That's exactly right. So once guys learn where their strength is, you hunt your strength.
Mm.
And that's something that you learn over time. You find out what works for you, and you stick to it.
I'm curious, for someone who played for so long, was a good hitter in the major leagues, then became a hitting coach, and has seen so many eras of it, why do you think it's seemingly so hard to hit these days? Batting average has never been lower. And these are talented players, but their batting averages are in the 220s, 230s, and it's normal. Is pitching that good now, or is it the approach of the hitters?
No, pitching is not that good. Everybody's trying to hit home runs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Trying to knock it out of the park.
Trying to knock it out of the park instead of, you know, putting the ball in play. And, you know, I don't want a ton of information from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the job getting experience, writing down what I need to do, what I'm focused on, what's going to make me successful. And that's the whole key, you know? If I would have tried to hit home runs like Smitty, I'd have been out of the major leagues
right.
in about a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what my role was. My role was to get on base. So if I get a single, it's a double because I'm still second. I'm top of the lineup
yep.
guy. You know, I knew what I'm supposed to do. I give you a funny lesson. I came here, and I batted second. It was Juan Samuel, myself, Von Hayes, and Smitty. Okay? And I'm at second base, and Smitty's up. And you know, you're a base stealing guy, and you're like moving a little bit. He's like, time out. He said, be still, I got you.
He didn't want the distraction.
He didn't want me moving around, making a distraction.
Yeah, yeah. That is funny. You hear that. Certain hitters don't like that kind of thing.
No.
Yeah. What do you think about Trey Turner, where he's at right now? Because Trey, it's been an interesting ride his 4 years here. Last year, he won a batting title. He was really good. The other years has been, he gets hot at times, but no, he can get ice cold. And it's like, man, what happened to that guy that was at one point a batting title kind of guy every year? What do you think when you watch Trey?
Well, what happened was he won the batting title last year. And then the first thing he said in spring training is, well, I'm going to try to get out front more and hit more home runs.
Yeah.
If it's not broke, why are you trying Everybody to fix
trying
it?
To fit, yeah.
You know?
So you think it's approach? And
it's
kinda,
approach.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Hitting is always approach. Mm. You know, guys who are successful have the right, you know, right game plan. Like, I had a game plan when I went up to the plate, and I just wanted to execute it. Knowing that baseball, you know, everybody hates for me to say this, but baseball's a game of failure. The best at my level were only successful 3 out of 10 times. You know, you're going to make outs in this game, a ton of outs. But what do you do? Do you learn from it? You know, I tell kids all the time, you know, you don't put your head down when you get out. That's part of the game. You're gonna make outs. Or if you hit a line drive and somebody catches it, why you go back to the bench crying?
Yeah, you hit it hard, right?
That's exactly right. You got to understand how this game it works. And once you understand how the game works and you just trust yourself. My dad had 3 words for me. Don't think. Don't try. Trust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's good advice.
Yeah.
So is that the advice for Hugh when he's in the?
I'm sitting here soaking it up.
I got you, Hugh. Don't let him take you down, Hugh. I got you.
I'm starting to believe a little more in Hugh because Milt Thompson does.
I mean,
Ryan Howard basically said you got no shot.
No, Ryan was like, "What's wrong with you?" Yeah, it was bad.
No, we got to get you down to fantasy camp. All right,
no, that would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be great. Be the HBCU Swingman Classic. It is Friday, July 10th, right here in Philadelphia. Tickets at the Phillies ticket office. Milt, thank you so much for hopping in. This has been fun. Thank you for hopping in.
I got Hugh. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Definitely.
This is going to be, if he hits home runs, it's awesome for the show. If he strikes out, it's all. I'm good either way.
We're winning either way.
It's great.
It's going to look better than this.
Oh, it can't look worse. Milt, thank you so much for hopping in today.
You're welcome, guys.
There he goes. Milt Thompson, former Phillies hitting coach with us here on the Midday Show. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Terrence in Springfield up on WIP. Hey, Terrence.
Terrence.
There we go. Hugh Del Carr. What's up, man?
What's up?
All right, man. Let me try another what I want to say. Okay. I want to talk on a little bit on the Phillies on Hurts, too. By him falling 17, I feel like that's the right place for Jalen Hurts. Coming off the year he had last year, it wasn't consistent. And I think a lot of people's problem with Jalen Hurts is it's that in these games, that these close games, these tight defensive games, I feel like people feel like he could do more to have a bigger impact on the game, and I feel like that's the gripe that they have with Jalen Hurts is he can use his legs more, he can hit these throws that he's missing, that he's overthrowing, he can do a little bit more to be a little bit more impressive in people's eyes, and I feel like that's why he's at number 17 on that list.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it was based on just last year.
Well, he had a down year.
He didn't play.
I mean, he didn't play well last year. That's it. I think a lot. My fault, Terrence, but I'm not cutting you off. But I think that a lot of times people feel like criticism of Jalen Hurts is diminishing what he's accomplished. That's not what it is. Like, I look at it more so of Jalen has accomplished so much, it's expected of him to do well. And when he doesn't, it's like, wow, he didn't do well. And, you know, we know it's in him. Like, because that's how I look at it. He didn't play well last year. We know it's in him, and he just has to have a bounce back year.
And that's the thing. We know it's in him. So that's the thing with me. I know that Jalen Hurts can do more, and I want to see that album this year. And this year it will be more impressive, being though he don't have A.J. Brown. To me, if he comes out and have a dominant year, have a great year, that will put Hurts right back on the mat with his other quarterbacks because he don't have that weapon in A.J. Brown this year.
Oh, I agree. No, Terrence, you're right. If Jalen has a great season, it's a big feather in his cap because this is a year that
– It's a told-you-so season. Yep. It's an in-your-face season.
Yeah, and it'd be the first time we could ever say he had a great year without that great receiver, right? Because all his best years have been obviously with A.J. So it would clearly be a feather in his cap, Terrence. There's no question about that. All right, Terrence, you ready for a little matchup here? Hugh Douglas against someone ahead of him on Herb's list?
Let's go.
Let's do it. All right. So Hugh Douglas came in number 66 on the Herb and Northeast Phillies list of best athletes Philadelphia since 2000. Better Philadelphia athlete in this century, Hugh Douglas or Devontae Smith?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Oh,
I know. I'm giving it
to you. That's a tough one, man.
Yeah, that's Devontae. I'll help you out. That's Devontae.
Poor Terrence.
It's close, but you had a long – Devontae still got more to prove.
Right.
But I would say – It's neck and neck. I will give Devontae a slight edge, but that's neck and neck, man.
Okay.
Devontae, the most decorated
– good call, Terrence.
The most decorated receiver in the history of the NFL as far as college and pros concerned, like winning the Super Bowl, being the Heisman Trophy winner.
So this could change, but I'm just trying to put it in perspective. You had an all-pro.
And he dresses way better than me.
I mean, come on.
Oh, did you see Milt, his wedding this weekend looked like a movie. He got married this weekend. It looked like something out of the scene of – I don't know, some movie, but it was phenomenal.
You know, Hugh.
Yes.
You know who else won the Heisman and not only a Super Bowl, but a Super Bowl MVP as a wide receiver?
Who?
Can you name him? Desmond Howard.
Oh, I forgot about Desmond Howard. But he wasn't as dynamic.
Kick returner.
He wasn't as dynamic. He's decorated, but not. He's not Schmitty.
I'm just saying.
But you talk about, and he had a hell of a run with Green Bay, right? The one with Green Bay.
Yes, the kick return.
Yeah, but kick return touchdown.
I'm just saying, you have an all pro in this span. Devontae does not have an all pro yet.
But I give it to Schmitty because, you know, the ring kind of trumps everything.
That
Super Bowl
all
ring.
Super Bowl MVP, with all due respect, Mel.
You know, that Super Bowl, that World Series, that changes the conversation immediately.
Yeah, it does. All right, 215-592-9494. Congratulations to Dave in Spring City, who is our winner of Fanatics. FanCast Fridays in the mix for $100. We once again thank Mill Thomas for hanging out with us. Go get your tickets to the HBCU Swing Man Classic. All right, coming up on the other side, your phone calls, you people. Plus, we got to check in with a soon-to-be commander, maybe. Some strange activity going on from a guy that might end up in this division. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Listen to it, Hugh.
It's a banger.
You coming around to it?
Not at all.
Come gotta on. Say, I'm glad that Milt wasn't in for the 1:30 segment.
No,
I didn't want to subject him to this.
I didn't know what to say. I wouldn't have known what to say. Milt, we're sorry. Thank you for coming
in. We're sorry, but we have to.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
It's a bit, Milt.
This song is inappropriate. You know what it made me think of?
What's that?
I saw a video of Madonna walking out the hotel the other day.
Speaking of inappropriate. Goodness gracious.
Was she naked?
Bro,
no, almost.
You didn't see it?
Man. How old is she?
She pushing 70.
Madonna, like, almost 70, right? And
you can't be walking around nude.
If she had grandkids, they would have been like, Grandma, what are we doing? Like, that out. She had on some go-go boots, dog.
Yeah, that's too much.
And she had on, like, a summer dress that I think she had it on backwards. Because the longer part of the dress was in the back.
Yeah, it was opposite of what
she
had.
Yeah, I think she had it on backwards.
You showed it to me yesterday. I was like, no, I'm not doing this. I don't want to see this. Not interested.
I mean, but hey, man, live your life.
And see, this is the problem. You can't let everyone do what they want. They don't know what they're doing.
They're going to do it regardless.
Well, I guess.
Live your life.
All right, speaking of living your life, a guy that was living as one of the better receivers in the NFL just a few years ago, I don't know what he's doing now. I do know this. He might end up within this division. So Brandon Ayuk, a few years ago, was a star with the Niners, right, yes. when they got to the Super Bowl.
He was better than Debo.
Yeah.
For a season.
I agree. The year they came in here, the Niners, and kicked our ass that game when they just dominated, he had a touchdown diving back of the end zone. I think it was late in the second quarter. But he was awesome at one point. And he got hurt. They paid him. And it went off the rails of the 49ers. So he's technically still on the Niners, but he's not anymore. I mean, they don't want him anymore. It's awkward. And, Hugh, I don't even know how to describe this. A crash out? I mean, he's been... So there's a lot of connection because he played for 1 year in college football at Arizona State with Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. They're buddies. So people have just kind of assumed that whenever the Niners move on from Ayuk, he's going to end up with the Commanders. And if you look at the Commanders depth chart, they kind of need another receiver. So it connects. The dots connect. But... I don't know, man. I don't know what he's doing, but he's still on the Niners. Listen, these are three moments this week. He posts these on social media where he's just acting as if he's on the Commanders, but he's not. The first one he's talking about, you know, go Commanders.
Man, what's up, everybody? I had a great Father's Day. And before I lay down and go to bed tonight, I just wanted to say, go Commanders. Go Commanders, man. Go Commanders. Raise hell. Take command. You talking about?
So there he is. I forget. He's on the 49ers. One more about if the 49ers cut him, what's going to happen?
And if I'm crazy or if I'm capping, some boys cut me today. And I'll sign with the Commanders tomorrow. And we'll see who capping.
Okay, there is.
We'll see who capping.
Yeah, there's one more here as he's trying to help the Commanders sell tickets to their games this season. Here it is.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Beaky. I'm back in action and back on tour this fall. Go to www.commanders.com, get your tickets, and watch us walk out.
He's currently under contract to the 49ers. What do you make of that one?
He turned on his tunes
and had a Commander's hat?
I think something wrong with him. I think he's dealing with something because it was a weird story. Not trying to get all serious on a Friday, but that's a lot. That's a lot of different mood swings in one session.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a lot. You know, a lot of different. I mean, hell, I'm a guy that has multiple thought processes during the course of the day, but that's a lot to share with people.
Or any of them raise hell. Go Commanders. You know what I'm saying?
It's a lot because I mean, I'm not going to lie, I do that because it's times where we're sitting there talking and I have a thought and I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't share that one. But still, it sounds like he has a lot going on. He probably needs to go talk to somebody.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny, but also maybe sad.
Well,
in a way,
because you know something is wrong with him. You don't know. Like, all of a sudden, he just went dark.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He just went dark with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, it was really weird.
And then now he's back and they're not saying anything. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious nobody in his camp has said a whole lot.
And they're moving on. They drafted a receiver a couple years of the first round.
And then Stripling this year.
Yeah, he's not on their team anymore. Do you think there's any chance, now if he's dealing with something like real, that's one thing. Do you think there's any chance he's taking a page out of the A.J. Brown book? I'm just going to say I'm on this team until they get me on this team.
No, because that's extreme.
No, I know, but we did see a little bit of that.
Not like that, though.
No, I mean, A.J. wasn't that bad.
I hear you, but this is... This is different given what Ayuk has been the last year.
No, I know.
That's why it's different. And when you hear it, it's like, okay, what are you talking about? It's like, you're really like, okay, what are you talking about?
Well, if I'm the Commanders, that's kind of like worrisome behavior.
Of course
it is. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I would want to bring him onto my football team.
Yeah, because
he's being weird, dude.
It feels like a staring contest where the Commanders don't want to give up anything for him because of what we just heard and what you're saying.
He's begging the Niners to cut him.
Begging the Niners to cut him. And the Niners are like, well, give us a pick. Like, right. if you really want him, he can do as many Instagram videos as he wants. We're not just going to cut him, so you could just take him.
What a weird situation. This kind of reminds me of, remember Larry's? Y'all probably remember, but early in the days of Twitter, I think it was Larry Centers.
Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson.
Larry Centers. I had a nightmare. The
fullback. They used to chip the hell out of me when we played Arizona Cardinals.
Larry Centers, I believe, had a 100 catch season as a fullback. He could play,
Larry Centers.
You meant Larry Johnson.
I meant Larry Johnson.
The Chiefs back.
The Chiefs run. You're right. And he used to have some cryptic tweets like that early on. And then it went silent. So I don't know, man. It's one of those things when you hear people or when you see people do that, you know, you wonder what's really going on.
Right, right.
So that was my first thought, because it's been, for him in particular, it's just been a weird roller coaster ride of him getting paid, then him not being a part of the organization, him leaving the organization for some unknown, undisclosed reason. And now he's resurfacing doing that. So it's different.
It's bizarre. Really different. And look, he might be facing the Eagles here in week one. This thing probably ends with him on the Commanders.
Raise hell.
let's go to D in Glassboro. What's up, D?
Hey,
D.
I'm not going to lie, Joe. Like one of my thoughts when you brought up the Brandon Ayuk thing is he trying to pull an AJ Brown? So like might be a little uncharitable, but that was.
Yeah,
like one of my first thoughts.
Yeah, it's like, well, we've seen this playbook a little bit. Now, this seems a little more extreme and worrisome, but it's like, hey, I want to play for this team. I'm just going to kind of say I'm on this team until they just do it.
Yeah.
I guess he's speaking it to existence.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to live his truth and get on that team, I guess. I don't know. Hugh, I do have to say that I really appreciate your commitment to trying to get those Hoochie Daddy shorts yesterday.
No, I got them. I got them,
Dave.
But you know what? They were
trying them on?
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd that go?
They fit. I mean, you know, if I was. Never mind. I'm going to keep that thought to myself.
You really trying to put out there and get that?
No, but yeah, D. Yeah, those are not shorts. Put it like this, D. Those are shorts that you wear when you're in a relationship.
Not for mixed company.
Yes. Those are relationship shorts. I tried to make that as clear. You know what I mean? That's a relationship outfit.
Yeah,
that's a relationship outfit.
Yeah.
Nice. So onto Jalen Hurts and his placement. I'm not mad about it. I do think that Jaden Daniels does not deserve to be in front of him because he missed most of the season last season. And I'm actually kind of worried about Jaden Daniels because I think they pushed him back onto the field a little too early last season. Mm. And it did give me RG3 flashback.
Mm-hmm. I felt that too. They should have shut him down and got an even higher pick. And I was like, what are they doing? They're putting him back on the field? Because the only chance they have is obviously him. I mean, the last 30 years, they're barely ever good except when they have these random years, these young quarterbacks pop for them.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be a really telling season for him. I don't think he's going to be as successful as he once was, but we'll see.
We shall. All right, D, you ready for a matchup here? Hugh Douglas against someone ahead of him on Herb's list?
All right, let's do it.
All right. Better athlete in Philadelphia in this century. Hugh Douglas came in at 66. This guy came in all the way at number 13. Who is better, Hugh Douglas or DeSean Jackson?
Oh, my God.
Some of these are hard.
Oh, that one's so hard. That's so hard.
I think someone in the studio doesn't think it's that hard. I can see his face.
I'm going to say Jackson. He made a couple of just amazing, you know, the miracle of the medal. Like he did a lot. So I'm going to go with him.
All right, D. Good phone call. Hugh, you agree or disagree with
me? Love DeSean. Like, DeSean's my man. Yeah. And D, no slight at you, because I understand. Because when we talk about, like I said, offensive players are mystical creatures.
They're fun. They're more fun.
Like Brian Westbrook, like the guys that I play with, they are mystical creatures. And I get that, because they are the ones that when you talk about games online, the Miracle of the Meadowlands, I remember that because I was doing the show, right? And we were, it was a...
Rob Ellis, with you?
It was, but what was it? Dave and Buster's, the one up north by you, the one up there by the what's the mall that just closed down? Used to be the big mall over that way.
Oh,
like up 95.
Yes.
But anyway,
yep.
it was
Franklin Mills.
Franklin Mills. there's a Dave and Buster's over there, right? And I remember we did a show over there, and I remember there's a lot of Giants fans there, and we were watching the game. And I remember we were losing, and they were ridiculing me. So I left because I got mad.
Well,
right?
It was the Eagles were down like three scores.
Yes,
yeah.
I was mad. So when the game was almost over, I get in my car, and I'm leaving, right? And the Eagles come back on that play. Joe, I turned my truck around, and I went back, and I gave everybody in there that had a Giants jersey on the ring finger with both hands. And was like
the real ring finger or the other?
Well, for purpose of this radio show and getting my third strike, I gave him the ring
finger.
Sure, yeah. But I was like in your face, and they were hot. But I made it my business to be super petty that day and go back in there and do that. But Deshaun Jackson also had a moment where he was at the one.
Dropped the ball.
And then he dropped the ball.
That was outrageous.
It was. In Dallas.
And you know what? I'm not mad because I get it. Because Deshaun was an electric player.
And to be fair.
Excuse me. He's an electric player. I almost died on that one.
Jesus. You okay?
And to be fair, when you scored your touchdown, you did not let the ball go at the goal line.
No, but I remember, like, I was here when he got drafted, and he felt slighted. He came into the league with a chip on his shoulder.
Well, he should have been a first-round pick.
Yeah, he should have been, and his coach basically did him dirty. And I love Deshaun. And so I'm not mad at that one.
Perturbed, but not mad. Let's grab Harry, who's up on WIP. Harry?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
What's up, Harry?
Harry, what's up?
Good morning.
Man, I'm all right, man. It's another day, and I was just sitting here going through my day listening to you guys. And I just want to say, first off, good morning. I hope you guys have a blessed day today. But this Jalen Carter situation, I don't understand the hype. Like, I really don't.
Don't understand. What don't we understand? Jalen Hurts or Carter? Which one?
No, Jalen Carter, hype.
Jalen Carter, hype. You don't get it. Okay.
So the dude is known for three plays that I can vividly remember on top of my head.
Right.
He's known for slapping Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
He's known for making the play against Matthew Stafford.
Big one.
In the NFC Championship. Right?
Division
right?
round, yeah.
That's the play he's mostly known for, and he's known for spinning that Dak Prescott.
Yeah, no, you're right. Those are the three biggest plays of his career. I mean, you're right. I mean, those are the three most infamous.
One of them is not a play.
No, but infamous moments, yeah.
When he got drafted, he was compared to Aaron Donald and Chris Jones, correct?
Yes.
I can read you guys the first 3 years of Aaron Donald's and Chris Jones' stats.
They're better than him.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I think we get the idea.
He has not been those guys yet. He's not consistently. Nope.
Thank you. So the hype of why we should be paying him when we're worrying about him coming to camp frustrated, I don't understand why we're giving them to him when he hasn't accomplished a single, not even a little bit of Chris Jones. Because leave Aaron Donald alone. Let's look at Chris Jones. Not even at Chris Jones level.
Harry, I agree. I mean, if you look at his numbers compared to Chris Jones, what Chris Jones got paid, he's not there. And Harry, good phone call. I mean, we don't hear that perspective on Carter a lot. That he's great talent, but it hasn't been consistent. And even the Jeffrey Simmons guy that just got paid, right?
Well,
Carter's numbers don't look like his the last 3 years.
But you pay for the potential.
Sure.
Because a perfect example, and this is where it relates to me, Willie McGinnis, the year Willie got paid, right? Willie was a Pro Bowl. I think they just came from their first Super Bowl or something. Yeah. They were on the cusp of going.
The Desmond Howard Super Bowl.
Yes. And Willie was the highest paid linebacker in the game at the time. And I hadn't accomplished half of what Willie McGinnis accomplished. So I remember when talking to the Eagles, they said, well, my agent asked me, what do you want? I said, I want Willie McGinnis money. And I said it just like that.
I could
that.
Hear you saying that.
Yeah, because he was like, well, what would make you go to Philly? I said, I want Willie McGinnis money. Now, you have to remember, I wasn't the player at the time that Willie was. So the Eagles gave me that based off the potential and the fact that they had already traded for me.
Well, that helped you when you were
so yeah, so that's what you're looking at. When you talk about, say, just like, for example, always talk about what's the quarterback name?
What team?
The one that Minnesota got all that money from Minnesota.
Oh, Cousins.
Kirk Cousins. Yeah, Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I had a brain fart. Kirk Cousins got guaranteed money, the first quarterback to ever get guaranteed money, right? It threw the whole quarterback market into a tizzy because when you look at what Kirk Cousins did as compared to other quarterbacks, They were like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
what are we doing?
Closer to average than great.
Yeah. And so that's why Matt Ryan got so much money, and that's why the quarterback money started to be greater. That's why Kyler Murray got so much money, because you're paying for the potential. So if I hope that kind of helped you out a little bit. That's why Jalen Carter's looking for the money he's looking for.
But it's also fair to say he hasn't been fully great yet. It's
he's
just
not.
Been spurts.
I tell you what, if he was a little bit more consistent, if he'd had 2 years of consistency, he'd have got that money, no question.
I agree with that. All right, Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see.
He starts long talking a lot around you people.
Others see when they meet you. Learn about the schedule.
I just noticed.
Your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Is this Phillies team great? Not yet or yes, Hugh?
78% yes.
73% not yet.
Oh. Okay.
But this is the one I want to get to. Better Eagle, Hugh Douglas or Malcolm Jenkins?
Hugh Douglas, 58%.
73% Malcolm Jenkins.
Interesting, you dropped for your 78. Like, you weren't even that confident.
You know, no, this is how you know it's, these people are too young on this
platform.
Well,
that's true. Recency bias.
How many people voting watched Hugh?
Ring culture,
but you know what it is?
Bias.
They won the Super Bowl.
You know what? But you know me. That's not everything.
Cares?
It's about the player.
I mean, you know.
I got to be consistent. I can't knock
Malcolm
you.
Malcolm Jenkins went to Ohio State. I went to Central State.
It doesn't matter.
No, but I'm about to make the compare and trash. Defensive Rookie of the Year. That was me.
There it is.
That was me. He won a Super Bowl, but I mean, that was me. I get it, though. But when you talk about a leadership role and the thing and what he meant to Philadelphia, I get it.
It's a good one. That's a good battle.
Good.
All
yeah.
right, let's get to you people here.
I mean, finally. Just to recap for the Hugh versus the field here.
Yes.
6-3. Hugh lost. That was Malcolm Jenkins, Nick Foles, Brandon Graham, T.O., Devontae, and DeSean Jackson. You do a lot of receivers of people.
So is that voting show that Herb was right?
Maybe.
No, it's the positions you put me up against.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, I just tried to find tough ones.
Well, if you compare it to defensive positions, I think I'd probably fare.
No, well, Brandon Graham, that one was a good one.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. I'm not knocking you. It's just that it's tougher because offensive players live in people's heads forever because they always think about their accomplishments.
The next one I was going to give, if we had more time, Fletcher.
That's a good one. Because Fletcher, I will tell you this, that would have been a good one because I think it was one stat that Fletcher was the first one to do something that I did. I think it was a All-Pro or something. The last person to do it was me or something like that.
And he played his whole career here.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Fletcher would.
That would have been a good one.
Fletcher probably deserves to be higher.
Yep.
I'd say that.
All right, I need to do this in the voice that I suspect this person has.
Okay.
This is at the beginning of the show talking about the Phils.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how they'll spin the Phillies into trashing Jalen Hurts.
What?
Well, it's the people that are sensitive about Hurts for everything. Like yesterday we were having the discussion of, is this Phillies team different? Remember we had the caller in the first hour. Yeah. Like, well, you won't say nice things about Jalen Hurts, the greatest quarterback ever. I mean,
what about Jalen Hurts?
It's the Jalen insecurity.
Oh my goodness, dude.
It's the Jalen insecurity.
And just
the
speaking
voice,
of, well, it's, yeah, that's how they all sound. I wasn't in the YouTube chat for a little while and I went back. We weren't, not much Jalen talk today. We mentioned the list, but
yeah.
It was a lot of Phils today,
yep,
right?
Yep.
I got the AI summary.
Oh boy.
Viewers in the chat are saying they have mixed opinions regarding Jalen Hurts' performance and the effectiveness of his teammates, specifically debating A.J. Brown's drops and individual player skill set. So while we sit here and talk Phils, all of them, are the ones talking about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Not us, just to be clear.
That's you people.
Mm-hmm. Nobody loves talking more about Jalen Hurts than the people who say they don't like talking about Jalen Hurts. They love it.
That's a fact.
I mean, just come on, people. Anyway, Hugh talking about the Phillies throwing around more butts than a twerking competition.
Twerking competition is fine.
It is. That's good.
No one can judge but God, Joe.
All right. Well, on this pulpit, I can. Okay, how's that sound?
That was way heavier than it needed.
It really was.
You know, God doesn't have a radio show, so
you know what?
He doesn't have 4 hours.
God was one of us.
If he wants a time slot, I'm sure he can get it somewhere.
Yep.
So just listen for it
without hesitation.
Hugh Douglas, guy was legit.
He was legit. Yeah. What happened to him?
Yeah.
I don't remember Hugh out-dueling Mahomes in 2 Super Bowls.
Oh, boy.
Well, you didn't, to be fair.
Because he didn't play in the same era as Patrick Mahomes.
People are sleeping on Hugh. I grew up a big fan of him and Ronald McDonald.
That was going to that rent-free.
Yep. McDonald stunk, Hugh. Dropped the nostalgia bit. I like they're leaning into that.
That was your guy, though.
You people been cooking lately.
They have. This is one of their better weeks.
Yeah, yeah. All right, just real quick. Mm-hmm. We talked about the epidemic that's been going on around here with, I think it's spreading from patient zero, Hugh Douglas.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
I agree with Bryce. I was the one who asked Bryce that question about whether or not it's sustainable.
That would be what my ass yesterday.
Enough to sustain you.
We got a new one today. TK, sports update.
Storming back from another big deficit to win their third in a row in D.C., Washington struck for four in the first off of Christopher Sanchez, led 5-0 entering the sixth.
Hey, man, we're human, man. Yep. You got to love it. Yep.
Someone do a wellness check on TK. That one looked painful.
I do have one more because we played audio yesterday, and I wondered who was going to end up giving me the cleanest drop out of all you guys. Ended up being Joe.
Do you think they have enough hot guys? So I was recapping what Ruben said. But,
sure you are.
Every team could use more hot guys in the lineup. Can they not?
Do you think they have enough hot guys?
That is crazy.
It's a good one. All right. That is it for us for today. Afternoon show, they're coming up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.